Let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. We're going to begin reading in verse 24. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Listening to the voice of God, how important for us to be sensitive to the prodding and the speaking of the Lord to our hearts, that we might truly come to a place of full surrender, living and abiding in accordance with what he desires for us to be and do. And you can't do that if you're not coming to a place of listening to the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24, we're going to read quite a few verses to get the sense of the text, and then we'll go into the message. Deuteronomy 4 and 24, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land and shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image or the likeness of anything and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, and thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, when thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou return to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. For ask now the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask for the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live? Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? And unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know the Lord, he is God, there is none else beside him. And out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thy heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath there is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I have commanded thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever." Let's pray. Father, we're thankful to be here this evening. We're thankful that we can open up the Bible and listen to what God has to say. I pray, Lord, you would help us to be able to glean some thoughts here this evening about this matter of listening to the voice of God. And may we understand how you speak to us. and Lord, what it is you desire for us to hear, and what it is that needs to be applied into our life, and what needs to be lived out for the glory of our God. And I pray, Lord, that the admonishment that Moses gives to the children of Israel here will be real to us. And Lord, we'll receive the instruction and we'll respond in a positive way, knowing it is so important for us to listen to you. And so, God, I pray that you'd speak to hearts tonight. Maybe there's someone here not saved. I pray they might come and receive Christ as their Savior. Help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this evening. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're right in the middle of all these verses I read. Check the text verse is verse 33. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out in the midst of fire, as thou hast heard, and live? What a great question Moses poses to the children of Israel in reference to them having the opportunity to hear the voice of God. In this passage throughout Deuteronomy chapter 4 and chapter 5, literally Moses is reminding Israel of what took place in Mount Sinai. He's also speaking to them in reference to what he personally experienced in hearing the voice of God coming out of the burning bush. And they were able to live as God revealed himself to them and would call them and work in their life. The problem is they were in danger of forgetting the glory of God and the greatness of their God. I'm afraid many times that as life goes on and as busyness overwhelms us and distractions come upon us, it's easy to forget about the glory and the greatness of our God. There is none other God than the God that we serve and that we worship. And through the passage where we're reading several times, God mentions the fact, what other God is like him? I'm always amazed that people would actually, who are have been in church, maybe have grown up in church, actually go out and pursue some other concept of God when we have the true and living God, and there is no God like unto our God. And so they were falling in the danger of forgetting the glory and the greatness of their God. In chapter 4, in verse 2, we see one of the problems was they were in danger of forgetting the word that God had given to them. He says, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And so the danger they had as they came into Canaan land is that they would be surrounded by a people who were heathen and did not love God, did not know God. And the way they lived was contrary to what God had so stated for the people of Israel to live. And so they were falling in danger of forgetting what it was that God had said in his word. And we have to be careful. There is a danger that we can fall into this trap of forgetting what it is that God has so commanded us to be or what he has commanded us to do. And so we must be faithful to reading the word of God, listening to what God has to say to us through his word. Not only were they in danger of forgetting the word, they were in danger of turning to idols. In chapter 4 and verse 16, he says, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female. And so they were in danger of falling into the trap of the false worship of the God, heathen around them, of actually making unto themselves idols to bow down in the worship when God had so commanded them that they were not to make any engraven image. I was on my way home this afternoon after church this morning. I was listening to a preacher on the radio, and that's what he was dealing with, the idols that man makes for himself in 2017. And it's amazing. We may not actually literally sit down and carve out an idol for ourselves to worship, but we allow so many things to take the priority in the place of our God, and those things become more important to us than our God is himself. And they literally are the idols that we worship. And we do face a danger not only of forgetting what God has said, but we face a danger of turning to the idols that God has warned us not to put anything else before him, but we are to worship him and him only. Then they were in danger of neglecting his law. In chapter 5 of Deuteronomy in verse 1, says, Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak into your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. And so neglecting God's law, you may know what it says in the Bible, but you may not keep it. You may know what God requires of us, but you don't do it. And there is a danger for us to live our life as a Christian, knowing the true and living God, that the world can influence us to a place where we no longer obey what God has so commanded us. So we must be willing to listen to the voice of God. And that's why verse 33, where we read in our text, did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of fire, as thou hast heard, and live? This matter of listening to the voice of God. The only place in the Bible where that phrase, voice of God, is used is right here in this text in verse 33. There's many places where you read the voice of the Lord. That phrase, the voice of the Lord, is used 48 times in the Bible. The first time it is made or used is in Genesis chapter 3 in verse 8. When Adam and Eve had sinned in the Garden of Eden, they hid themselves from God. And it says that they heard the voice of the Lord in the midst of the garden. And so this matter of God speaking to us, he wants us to hear what he has to say. The last time that phrase, the voice of the Lord, is used in the Bible is in Acts chapter 7 and verse 31, where Stephen is preaching. And as he is preaching, he mentions the fact that Moses heard the voice of the Lord coming out of the burning bush, out of the midst of the burning bush. And so here's the voice of God, I'm sorry to say, the voice of the Lord heard to begin with in the garden when man is hiding from God. God is calling out to him. But also we have the call of God on the life of Moses is the last time it's referred to in the book of Acts. Now, right in the middle of the Bible, in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, we read of Isaiah seeing the Lord high and lifted up, and it says he heard the voice of the Lord. So here we have the beginning, the end, and the middle. We have this concept of the voice of God or the voice of the Lord speaking to us, and we need to be willing to listen to what it is he has to say. And if we're not going to be willing to listen to God, then we fall into these traps and these dangers of being drawn away and removed from our God. So, four aspects. Yeah, only four. Amen, we're good. I wasn't sure I could remember. I put this together last week so I could remember what I had on here. Notice, first of all, he speaks to us by his still small voice. In 1 Kings chapter 19, and we know that Elijah was fearful of his life, and he was fleeing away from Jezebel in 1 Kings chapter 19. And as he is fleeing, he is hiding from Jezebel. And in 1 Kings chapter 19 in verse 12, and it says, And after the earthquake of fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Now, it's amazing to see that God, in times when Elijah was fearing for his life, that God would come and speak to him in a still small voice. Oftentimes, we think God's going to do some great, magnificent thing when all we need to do is be willing to listen to what it is that God has to sweetly, secretly, if you will, quietly speak to our hearts. He speaks to us still in a still small voice. It demonstrates a couple of things here, because in verse Kings chapter 19, in verse 9, it says, And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And then in verse 13 of that same chapter, he says the same thing. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And it demonstrates a couple of things, that God would speak to us in his still small voice. I think it demonstrates for us the grace of God. And God's grace is sufficient to save us and to keep us and strengthen us for whatever the task is before us. Paul, when he would go and beseech the Lord for the thorn that was in his flesh, God's response, Jesus' response to Paul, the Apostle Paul was, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And I think when you go through trials and difficulties in life, in times of great fear, Elijah is fearing for his life in 1 Kings 19, that the grace of God is manifested and God reminds us that he will never leave us, will never forsake us, and that whatever it is we must go through or accomplish will be accomplished by his grace and by his grace alone. So it demonstrates grace, but it also demonstrates love. That God did not leave Elijah by himself. He is literally physically by himself. He is hiding from Jezebel, fearing for his life, but God still loved Elijah. And he loved Elijah so much that he would come and literally focus his attention and his message to Elijah, causing Elijah to face the reality of the situation that he is in. He said, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" And sometimes I think God will speak to us in a sweet, still, small voice of coming to us and saying, what are you doing that for? Why are you in this place? Why are you doing what you're doing? And we need to listen to the voice of God. God will not allow us to run away from him. He will not allow us to run away from our opportunities to glorify him. He loves us so much that he will speak to us and reveal to us what his will is, even in those times that we think are dangerous, in those times that we think God is not interested. And so his still small voice demonstrates grace and love. It dominates, his still small voice dominates physical experience. Now, Elijah, we know, had witnessed God's moving at Mount Carmel. Before you get to chapter 19, Elijah is on Mount Carmel. We know the story there. The 400 prophets of Baal are standing against him. Elijah is standing by himself. There is a debate about whose God is the real God. The prophets of Baal could not get their gods to respond to their prayers and their requests and their crying and their cuttings and everything else. But Elijah would pray a prayer of 63 words, and the fire of God would come down and consume the altar and the sacrifice that was offered on that altar. The problem is this: in chapter 19 is more significant than chapter 18, where he meets with the prophets of Baal, because the still small voice of God dominates physical experience. And the amazing thing is people always think that they want to experience some great manifestation of the move of God or whatever, and God just wants to very quietly and softly speak to our heart. It not only dominates the physical experience because Elijah witnessed God's moving on Mount Carmel, but God is just simply saying this: lasting spiritual work is in the heart. And may I say tonight, the greatest work that God can do in your life is what he does in your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If we can allow God to speak to us in a still small voice in our heart and bring us to a place of spiritual blessing and growth in our hearts, it will make a major difference in how we live and respond to the demands and challenges that are in life. Why is that? Because God's small voice dominates physical experience. And a lot of churches, they put a lot of emphasis on physical experience. And wait a minute, God has something else he wants to say to us. And so we need to be willing to listen to him. So the still small voice of God demonstrates some things for us. It dominates some things for us. It demands some things for us. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 15, notice it demands surrender. And the Lord said unto him, "Go, return unto the way of the wilderness of Damascus." And so the small voice of God speaking to him puts a demand on him that he needed to surrender to what God wanted him to do and the direction that God wanted him to go in. And when God speaks to us, he's always directing us somewhere, somehow. And we need to be willing just simply to surrender to what it is that God commands us. We know Jesus' great commission is just simply go. He tells us to go. You say, where am I going to go? You need to listen to God to find out where it is he wants you to go. You need to listen to God to know what it is God wants you to accomplish in your life. And I just know this, if we'll be sensitive enough and willing to be alone with God and pursue the Lord in prayer, that God will, in a still small voice, speak to us and prod us about what it is or where he wants us to go. So he demands surrender of Elijah, but he also demands service of Elijah. In verse 15, the Lord said unto him, go, return on the way of Damascus. I'm sorry, the way to the wilderness of Damascus. And then notice he says, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Assyria. And so there was a job that he wanted him to do and a thing that he wanted him to accomplish. He said, this is the direction I want you to go, because when you get there, this is what I want you to do when you get there. So there's service. God always prods us, calls us, speaks to us in directing and leading us, because he has somewhere he wants us to go to fulfill a service that he desires for us to fulfill. What is it that God wants to do with your life, and what is it he wants to fulfill in your life? John chapter 10 and verse 3 says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And so knowing and discerning what is the voice of God and what it is that he is speaking to you. I remember after I got saved, and I can remember just sitting in church and hearing the preaching of the word of God and realizing that people are lost and going to hell. And I just remember God just in his still small voice prompting me and burdening my heart for people who are lost. And I just had to listen to the voice of God. And no matter what I was doing or where I was at, I was thinking of people dying and going to hell. And God just kept speaking to my heart about that. So what do I need to do? You need to go. You need to surrender your life to me, because I have a service that you're to perform. And if we'll just take time to get alone with God and listen to what he has to say, he definitely will show us where we're to go as we surrender to him, and he'll show us what he wants us to do or what he wants us to be for his glory. So he speaks to us in a still small voice. Don't come to the place where you refuse to listen to what God has to say. Now, I'm not talking about an audible voice. I've never heard an audible voice. But as we're going to see some other concepts in which God speaks to us, how he speaks to us in that still small voice. But I know this, there's the prompting of the Holy Spirit. There's a revelation that's in the Word of God. There is a providential circumstances that God brings in our life, that he uses all these things just to speak to us and direct us in what it is that he wants to do in our life. So he speaks to us in a still small voice. He speaks to us by his word. In Luke chapter 22, in verse 61, he speaks to us in his word. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Now, certainly the Lord was very direct in speaking to Peter. Peter had forgotten what he had said to him. Peter, most likely, as you think about human nature, most likely in his pride, felt that he would never deny the Lord. He had so stated that. But Jesus had revealed to him by his word that this is what's going to happen in your life, Peter. And Peter ignored that. And because he ignored that, when he experienced it, he remembered what the Lord had said to him. And we have to remember what it is that God says to us by his word. Israel was in a challenging place because they were in danger of neglecting what God had said in his word. And so we need to listen to what the word of God say. Why? Because it regulates our actions. In Acts chapter 11, in verse 16, it regulates our actions. Acts chapter 11, in verse 16. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? He regulates our actions. And it is God who speaks to us through his word that says, this is what you're to be. This is how you're to live. This is how you're to conduct yourself. And we cannot find out how we are to live the Christian life apart from what God has said in his word. Oftentimes people say, well, I don't understand why we should be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and all this. Because of the fact that the word of God is taught. And the word of God is preached. And the word of God is the means through which God speaks to our heart in a still small voice, putting the regulations that are in our life. Many Christians are struggling in their Christian life, and it is because of the fact that they are not faithful to be under the tutelage of the word of God. God will speak to us through his word. And I tell you this, there is not one thing that God has impressed on my heart to do in my Christian life that has ever violated one principle that's in the word of God. I've had people say, well, we prayed about this, and we prayed about this, and we feel this is what the will of God is for our life. Yes, but what you're doing is violating a principle that is in the word of God. Well, I don't care. I've had people say that. I don't care because I prayed about this, and I believe this is what God wants me to do, and this is where we're going or whatever it may be. And I say, well, you're violating a principle that's in the word of God. God never tells us to do anything that violates a regulation that's in his word. And listen, if you feel that way, it is not God speaking to you. It is your flesh speaking to you, or it is the world speaking to you, or it is the devil speaking to you. Because God regulates who we are, what we do, where we go through his word. He may prompt us and speak to us in a small, still voice, but it is going to be confirmed through what his word has to say. So it regulates our actions. God speaks to us by his word because it vindicates us from our sin or clears us from our sins. And Psalm 119:11 says, I forgot it. Amen. You guys know that verse. You'll probably quote it on me. Amen. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart. How could I forget that verse? You know? Good night. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And you say, well, people say, well, I just don't understand how I can have victory over sin in my life. Hiding the word of God in your heart. And this is why, because when the temptation comes, the Spirit of God will bring to surface that verse that you memorized or that verse you applied into your life or that passage of scripture that you studied out. And so, listen, the only way that you can stand against the temptations and the sins that are in your life is you have to know what the word of God says. Thy word have I hid in my heart. I hide the word of God in my heart. Why? So that I won't sin against him. I want to be cleared of my sin. I want to be able to enjoy his relationship in a powerful way. It regenerates us and changes our lives. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Acts chapter 16, in verse 32, and Paul and Silas were in the prison, and they lead the prisoner, the guard to the Lord. He asked them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And then in verse 32, it says, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. See, the difference that was made in the life of the Philippian jailer and the life of the family members of the Philippian jailer was they spoke unto them the word of God. And the greatest thing that you can do as you witness to others, you try to be a help to others, need to bring them to a point of listening to what God has to say by saying, thus saith the Lord. You open up the word of God. You give them instruction out of the word of God. That's why in our Sunday school, we're trying to be able to structure our Sunday school with systematic lessons that everyone is learning and studying together because of the fact that if we all are on the same page in the same doctrine, in the same fellowship, in the same position in the Word of God, it will strengthen us and help us to be able to stir others in their faith also. And so God speaks to us by His Word. It perpetuates us, the Word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25, I don't know about you, there's been many days and many times when I felt just like quitting. But it's the Word of God that continues to stir us and keep us going on. You read the Bible and God says something to your heart. And next thing you know, you're saying, oh, I can keep moving on. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25, but the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you. If you want to be able to continue walking strong in the Lord Jesus Christ, then it requires of you to know and study and listen to what He says in His Word. Why? God's still voice never violates anything that He has written in His Word. Never. And so if there is something that is prodding you or something that is moving you that's going to violate a principle in the Word of God, realize this, it is not God that is speaking to you. And so He speaks to us in a small, still voice through His Word. Well, He speaks to us by His chastisement. In Daniel chapter 9, in Daniel, the prophet reveals that the situation in Israel was because of the chastening hand of God. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 13, in verse 14, it says, "And it is written, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God." That's an amazing statement. They were experiencing the Babylonian captivity. They were experiencing the chastisement of God. And all these things were on them, but they did not pursue their God. So it says, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. We made not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil. I thought it was a very interesting statement. The Lord watched upon the evil. He didn't bring the evil on them. He watched it take place in their life because He lifted their blessing. And the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all of His works which He doeth. For we obeyed not His voice. And so there is a dangerous place to get into, and that is to come to a place of refusing to listen to God, and then we'll have to suffer His chastisement. Why? His chastisement demonstrates His love for us. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6 says, "Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." And God loved His people Israel enough that He would not allow them to continue in iniquity, but He would allow the chastening hand to come upon them through the evil that was around them and the chastisement of nations against them. Well, God will bring chastisement on our life. He speaks to us through His chastisement. It develops the right desires and goals in our life. In Hebrews 12 and 11, it says, "Now no chastening from the present seemeth to be joyous." In other words, who's excited about being chastised? Nobody does. "But grievous." And he says this, "Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." And so your children do wrong, you discipline your children. We have a Christian school. The kids do wrong in the school. We discipline them. It's not for the purpose of being mean. It's for the purpose of correcting an error. And if you correct a bad action, then they're going to do what is right. Do we do that because of the fact that we rejoice in being able to discipline kids? No, we do that because we love them. And we want them to develop the right desires and the right goals in their life. And if we are, humanly speaking, do that, and are that connected in desiring to bring a positive outcome, how much more does God's love for us chasten us so that it might be able to direct us to the place of yielding fruit of righteousness and having the desires and goals that are right? So God will speak to us through His chastisement. It delivers the soul, God's chastening hand. In 1 Corinthians, Paul deals with this matter of disciplining a brother in the church that was committing sin. And he said this, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. There is this deliverance that comes through the chastening hand of God. So God's chastisements comes when we rebel against God's voice, calling us to obey his word. And so literally, God will speak to us in a still small voice. He'll do that through his word. We disobey his word, we enter into his chastening hand. God is going to communicate with us one way or another. And I'd rather have him communicate in the positive blessing realm, amen, than him communicating in the discipline realm. But hallelujah, sometimes I need him to discipline me to get me where I need to be. So I'm glad he doesn't shut up. I'm glad he speaks to me through his chastening hand. Well, the last thought is this. He speaks to us through his son. Wednesday nights we're doing study in the book of Hebrews, and this was the thing that we kind of focused on Wednesday night. In Hebrews 1:2, it says, hath these in these last days spoken unto us by his son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And so literally he speaks to us by his son. So that means we need to obey his words. And what Christ has so stated to us in the gospels, what he gave instruction to his disciples, applies to us. And even in 2017, and so need to obey. Jesus said, why call ye me Lord and do not the things that I've commanded you? And so he speaks to us by his son, so we need to obey what his son's words are. We are judged by his words. In Matthew chapter 12, in verse 48, Jesus was very clear. If we disobey the word in the day of judgment, we have one that judges us. What is that? The words that he has spoken to us is the judge that we have to face. God has been very clear and so stating through his son what it is that we are accomplished. But we are also to live by his words. Matthew 4:4 says that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so if God has so spoken to us by his son, then we're to live by the words that he has given to us. Why? Because that is how he speaks to us. And so God's complete revelation to us is in his son, Jesus Christ. And so we look at the words of Christ, we look at the life of Christ, we listen to what Christ has to say to us, and we allow him to mold us into his image, guiding and directing us. Why? Because we do not want to get to a place where we're not listening to the voice of God. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as thou didst, hast heard and live? Now, folks, we have a very special relationship with God because he really is desiring to speak to us. God really does want to do something miraculous in our life. He really does want to take each one of our lives, whether young or old, whatever the situation that we are in, and wants to use us for his glory. But it will not come to pass if you're not willing to listen to what he has to say. The prompting of the Holy Spirit, the still small voice of God, directing us to his word, observing what he has so stated, not violating any principles that's in his word, realizing, yes, he may chasten us because we need his chastening, but he still has sent his son to be the propitiation of our sin. He has still demonstrated how deeply he loves us in that he sent his son into this world. And everything that God wants us to know about him is seen and experienced and heard through the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the voice of God. We listen to so many things. Don't tune out God. Joanne's always over the years saying, I don't know how you drive that bus. All these kids on there at different times. I just tune them out. I don't even know they're there. They're gone, amen. I'm just driving down the road by myself. I used to drive the commuter bus in New York, and there'd be standing room only on the bus and people getting mad because the traffic is bad and all that, and I didn't hear a word they were saying. I just tuned them out. I was thinking about the Lord, memorizing verses, get preaching to myself up there. I just tuned it out. I don't want to do that to God. I don't want to get to a place where God is speaking to me and prodding me, and I'm saying, no, Lord, I don't want to listen to what you have to say. I want to hear him. I want to accept what it is he has for me and I want to fulfill it in my life. Listening to the voice. You ever hear of a people that can literally experience the voice of God? And God does that for us. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for the example of Israel. We're so thankful that you would take such strides and efforts, Lord, just to speak to your people, guiding them and directing them, Lord, into your perfect will. I'm thankful, Lord, that you sent Jesus into this world so that we might know who you are through him, and that God, over and over again, the Spirit of God will speak to us and prod us and direct us to your word, and we can experience an understanding and acknowledgement that it is God that is directing our life. And so, Lord, I pray for each person here tonight. May we have a sensitivity to you, Lord. May we not turn our ears off to the hearing of God's voice to us, but God, may we respond in a positive way as you continue to direct us. Lord, our lives are literally in your hand. God, we surrender all that we are to you. And God, we long and we desire to hear from you, Lord. So speak, and we will listen. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stay.